learn those things for sure. But if we were to go around the room this morning and talk about traditions at Christmas, we're not going to take the time to do that because we want to eat brunch after this, okay? So we definitely want to do that. But if we were to take the time to do it, how fun would it be to hear? And traditions, our minds would go back, memories would go back, or there'd be laughter, there would be tears, specific people would come to your mind, and I remember when we did this, or as a family growing up, this is something that we did. And one of the top traditions was mentioned, probably my favorite tradition would be, and maybe if we were all honest here this morning, one of our favorite traditions would be either the giving or the exchanging of gifts. That would be a top tradition. And we don't necessarily think about giving gifts as even being a tradition because it's just so part of what Christmas actually is. And if we break Christmas down to the core, what is Christmas? It is simply about a gift. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Paul writes to a church in the New Testament, and he says these words. He says, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." You know, we are reminded a lot about giving. We just came through the Thanksgiving season, and we're reminded of it. Maybe there's opportunities to donate food and clothing and things like that. There's opportunities to do those things. As we get into the Christmas season, we continue that. As you go into a store, you see maybe a bin there, and it says, "Hey, if you'll donate toys, these will go to certain kids in the community, or food here, or money, you can do that." And usually when you walk into some kind of store during the season, you will hear something before you actually see it. And you'll hear a bell ringing outside the store. And there'll be a person there, usually in a red apron of some kind. And they've got a bucket next to them that you can go and you can deposit cash in there and coins, money, things like that. And it reminds us of giving. Now, usually when we give in that sense, it is not something that makes or breaks us. If I walked to the Walmart in Shelby this morning and I took this 75 cents that I have and I plan to purchase something at Walmart, I don't know what I would buy with 75 cents, but something really good clearance deal, I don't know, or one pack of fruit snacks maybe, something like that. But if I took this 75 cents that I'm planning to use for something else and I walk by and I drop it in that bucket, is it really going to affect my life for me to give this 75 cents? More than likely, no. I'm not going to go home that night and lose sleep over it and say, "Oh, if only I had that 75 cents. I'm not going to go a decade from now and say, "I really wish I could put my kids through college, but I gave 75 cents at Walmart and now I don't have enough money to be able to do that." Sometimes we give and it's not really a big deal for us to give. But many times we equate the largeness, the size of the gift with the sacrifice that was involved in order to give the gift. And many of you have given this year or are planning to give when maybe it is a big sacrifice to be able to do so. You know, it's interesting, it's talking about giving, we hear stories many times of people that go from maybe not having much to having a lot. People that were poor who become rich, maybe because something was given to them. They had an inheritance that they had no clue about from a family member, and all of a sudden they inherited it. And sometimes we hear the opposite story, don't we? We hear from people who are rich who become poor. Usually that's not voluntary. Usually that is, it was taken from them or they lost it in an investment or something like that and had no choice of their own. We don't hear about people usually becoming poor so that someone else can become rich. If you're here this morning and you were rich and you said, "You know what, I'm going to give everything I have to this person who we would consider to be poor so that they can be rich and I will be poor," we would say, "Are you sure about that? And would you want me to be the person instead of the person you're thinking of if you're planning to do that," right? We would try to talk them out of it in some way. But you know, the Bible tells us about a person who did that very thing. This is what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. It says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich." What do we learn from this verse? Number one, we learn that Jesus Christ was rich. He said himself, he said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." We're talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself. He says, "I came from heaven." So what's the big deal about that? Heaven is kind of like the top, right? When we describe something that's really, really good, you might use the phrase, "Oh, that's heavenly." Or we may talk about a specific thing and say, "Oh, that's heaven on earth." Why would we use that term? We're saying it doesn't get better than that. And Jesus said, "That's the place that I left." And by the way, when Jesus left heaven, it wasn't just that he was a resident there. The fact that heaven is what it is because Jesus was there. And that's what he left. The Bible also tells us, speaking specifically of Jesus Christ, that all things were created by him and for him. We find out in the book of Psalms that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. We know that he was rich, but we also know that he became poor. The Bible says this in the book of Philippians, that he was made in the likeness of men. Jesus Christ came, lived a flesh and blood life as a person. God becoming a person. What an exchange. And yet while he was here, he was still fully God and fully man at the same time. If you're here this morning, if you're listening in live stream at the Emmanuel Baptist Church, the name Emmanuel simply means God with us. And that talks about his likeness of men. How else do we know he was poor? We know he was born into a poor earthly family. They would say of Jesus, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" They wouldn't say, "Is not this the prince's son? Is not this the rich man's son? Is not this the nobleman's son?" No, "Is not this the carpenter's son?" Really in a term of demeaning. Hey, you can't be that. You're a carpenter's son. How can you be who you say you are? So we know that about him. We know from his own testimony, he said that the foxes and the birds would have places to go, but the Son of Man, speaking of himself, would not even have a place in which to lay his head. So why someone so rich becomes so poor? We find it in the verse. The purpose of it was so that you and I, through his poverty, might be rich. Say, well, what does that mean? It simply means, as the Bible says in the Gospel of John, that as many as received him, to them gave he power, the right to become the sons of God and be brought into that family. One author said this, six simple words, "This is the gift of gifts." The same author said this, "We know he was poor, but we do not know how poor he really became. To measure the depth of his poverty, we have to measure the sum total of the sin liability of every man, woman, boy, girl, and baby ever born or to be born upon the earth. For that was the debt, the total liability which he assumed." It's not just that Jesus became poor, but he also took a debt on himself that no one else but himself could pay. And that is the sin of the entire world. The Bible says this, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is what he did. The Bible says that every person ever born into this world has sin. And it says that the wages of sin is death. And that death simply means a separation. And our sin separates us from a holy God. And when we die in our sin, we are separated from God eternally. And he's in heaven. We're not able to go there to be with him. But Jesus Christ came, was poor, took my debt so that he could then turn around and offer a gift to every person ever born into the world. And that's the sacrifice of himself. He came, lived a perfect life, offered himself. He was killed. He was buried, but he rose again the third day to be able to offer the gift of eternal life to every single person. But we kind of skipped over the first part of the verse. And Paul says this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then he gives us really the definition of that grace, that Jesus became poor so that we could be rich. And simply, what is grace? It's me receiving something, me having the opportunity to receive something that I do not deserve. Usually when we receive a gift, really all the time we receive a gift, is it something we earned or something that someone, maybe because of relationship, they want to give to us? If I earn something, it's more of a prize. It's not really a gift. And that's what Jesus, that's what God calls salvation. He says, it is a gift. All you have to do is receive it. And we can't earn it. We know that from these verses in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace, there's that word grace again, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, this morning, there is a gift that God is offering to you, and it's the gift of eternal life, the gift of a relationship with him through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of what he did for you. When we talk about traditions, we talk about gifts, because really that is the sum total of what Christmas is about. It is about a gift and God offering us a gift. Very simple question for you this morning. Have you accepted the gift that God is offering to you? Pretty soon, in a few days, we will accept gifts from other people. But have you accepted what we would call the gift of gifts, the greatest gift, and that is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, because of what he did for you? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just one moment? We talk about this gift, but this morning, maybe you're here and you have not received that gift. We want to give you that opportunity this morning to do so. Dale's beginning to play. If you're here this morning and you just say, Pastor Adam, I've not received that gift of eternal life. I would like to receive that this morning. We have Brother Bob up here at the front. Would you come and just see him and say, hey, I would like to receive the gift of eternal life. He will put you with someone that can show you from God's word how you can know that you've received God's gift. If you're watching live stream, there is an email address up there. It should be info@ebckingsmountain.com. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us, we would love to hear from you. Please contact us there, and we'd love to do that for you. Thank you so much. You can look this way.